It's time to get way down low, below top secret.
Wait a minute.
Current events,
sports,
art, entertainment,
food topics,
automotive topics,
relationships.
It's all here now from belowtopsecret.com. This is the BTS Mix.
And this is the BTS Mix show number 23. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. What's going on, my brother? How's things going?
Man, it has been a busy week. You know, when your summer's hit, you're thinking, man, I can take a little bit of time off. I can enjoy myself. I can breathe in the peace, sit in the sun, or just, you know, have a cup of... No. It's just been crazy all summer long. And now my daughter has started, you know, kind of like football players have two-a-days, and they start early in the year. Well, the band starts early. I guess they started like August 4th, so... Her days are taking up with band. That kind of screws up my schedule, and it's just, not even a vacation yet this year. So we're still working on that, though.
Yeah, I hear you, man. You know, I thought that, you know, eloping and getting married on the sly would be an easy thing and make things easier, but now I'm realizing it just kind of draws everything out, because now it's like we have to do this little party and that little thing and get all these things together, and man, it's pretty crazy. So, you know, it's very interesting to say the least. You know, you think, and I talk to people about this all the time, you think that summer is going to be this laid-back kind of casual, lazy thing, but then you find out, man, you start planning all this stuff, thinking, oh, I've got all the time in the world, and before you know it, it's August, and you have no idea what to do with your time.
No, I know. And it's just like, okay, well, wait a minute. Christmas is just around the corner. Yeah, the holidays are almost here again, Okay, well, if anyone else, and you probably are, dealing with all this stress, thank you for tuning into the BTS Mix Show, where we deny boredom and try to put a smile on your face. Now, we are going to talk about a movie starting off that will probably, I'm betting, is going to knock Batman out of the number one spot this weekend, Doc.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, of course, the movie we're talking about is Tropic Thunder, the kind of satirical movie with Ben Stiller and Jack Black. And, of course, the apparently quite controversial, what's his name?
Well, there's lots of controversy in this one. And that's kind of interesting that you brought that up, because, I mean, you've got Robert Downey Jr., who's playing a black guy in this. That stirred up some controversy, which we'll go into in just a little bit. You've got the folks who deal with the mentally handicapped. They're mad because they're using basically, well, this is what they say in the movie. Here, listen up.
There were times when I was doing Jack that I actually felt retarded, like really retarded.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
In a weird way, I had to sort of just free myself up to believe that it was okay to be stupid or dumb.
To be a moron.
Yeah.
To be moronical.
Exactly.
To be moronical. Okay, so anyway, that's got a... Other people didn't have things to bitch about this summer, so that's the target. That's what we're going after right there. So I don't think it's going to affect the outcome of the movie. It's probably still going to be number one at the box office. I can see how some people are sensitive to that, and that's fine. I think they were doing it more in a satirical way. Actually, Ben Stiller said, you know, we're making fun of actors. We were talking about the actors, and the word retarded came up because it's actors trying to play off retarded people to get an Oscar. And that's the reason they did it satirical, because this whole movie is basically lampooning Hollywood, and even has a cameo. Well, I guess not really a cameo, more of a part that will be, they're hoping, or Tom Cruise is probably hoping, a comeback for him, a little comedy part for him in the movie. So I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm going to go see it the next couple of days.
Well, I mean, you know, come on, folks. That's what satire is. And if it's not so blatantly clear from just that little clip, and I think from the clip that they're referring to Ben Stiller's character played a mentally handicapped person in a movie, and it's making fun of Hollywood for talking about, you know, they say, oh, you want your next big Academy Awards, you want your next big Emmy, we'll play someone who's mentally handicapped. You know, what a shallow society to live in, where, you know, people are judging the parts that they play and what they do in Hollywood based if they can play a mentally handicapped person, and they're more making fun of Hollywood than they are making fun of mentally handicapped people. I don't think that was the intention of the joke. And before people start flying off the handle, oh, well, you know, I think it was Jonathan Swift, and don't quote me on this, but I think, you know, he wrote the infamous satirical piece on making luggage and handbags and certain leather goods out of the poor people's skin. And he wrote this big article completely, you know, it was complete and utter satire about how they should make, you know, various goods and bags and things out of poor people's skin in the country. And of course, it was talking about the abuses that the government was throwing down. The long and the short of this little piece, and I guess what people are so upset about, is that it's satire. It's used in an aggressive, satirical kind of way to prove a point and to make a point about something. But the point was not that mentally handicapped people are lesser people. It's not that mentally handicapped people, you know, should be looked down upon in any other way. It's simply to say that look at how shallow Hollywood can be sometimes when they're making these $180 million movies that they don't necessarily take into account what they're exploiting. And in this case, it was being mentally handicapped. So, look, I understand, you know, you don't want it to be abused and you don't want the term to be thrown out and walked all over, particularly if it means that mentally handicapped people are being discouraged or that they're being, you know, thrown down in society. But at the same point, come on, you know, that wasn't even the intention of the joke, and you have to look at the intention.
Four words with that if anybody has any qualms about satire, rock me sexy Jesus. Okay, if anybody should be pissed off, it's probably Christians. When you run a TV ad saying, boy, when my dad finds out what I've been doing, he's going to crucify me. If anybody, where's the uproar over that? You know, there's a lot of this lampooning in Hollywood. Some of it's funny, some of it's tasteless, and it's been going on for a long time. It's satire. Other people have gotten a little thicker skin on this, so hopefully they will. Now, that's one controversy. Let's jump to the next controversy, Doc, which is Robert Downey Jr. playing a black guy. He's basically a Russell Crowe type Australian actor who undergoes a procedure to play a black man in the movie. And from the previews, I laughed my ass off just on the previews. But if Robert Downey Jr. can pull it off, anybody can. And this is what Robert Downey had to say about the quote-unquote controversy.
Last time I checked, race relations in America aren't great, and they've taken some steps. But even L.A. is still kind of a segregated city, and we're supposed to be really urban, all this stuff. So I start taking on these big political ideas, and I've got my GED in prison. So I'm not qualified to discuss this stuff, but I know that as far as my integrity as a man and an artist, that I was comfortable enough with this that I felt it was far more entertaining than controversial.
And I think he's right. I think it's going to be a lot more entertaining than controversial. But again, some people have thin skins, no pun intended, and it could be anybody on this type of subject.
Well, you know, you put a very fine point on that, Spencer. And the thing to remember, you know, and I think Robert Downey Jr. was exactly right. Race is a huge issue in this country. I mean, take a look at the political forum on ATS and look at all of the threads that are started with venom about Barack Obama saying, oh, you know, if he loses the election, black people will riot in the streets and bringing up all these things. Oh, he was seen in a madrasa and he's a Muslim and da 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 da. It's apparent that there are some scabs that are in the open now and the Band-Aids have kind of come off. And I have to say that it's stories like these, things like these, political situations like these that force us to talk about this issue. And that's exactly what we need to do. I think we became so politically correct as a society that it allowed us not to address exactly what was going on with race relations. And absolutely, we still have a long, long way to go, but there's no way that we can ever address any of those situations or issues without talking about them and discussing them as a society and talking about how we feel about them, you know? So I hope that this comes off well, and I hope people understand the intent behind it. Because, again, I have great respect for Ben Stiller. I also have great respect for Robert Downey Jr. I also have great respect for Jack Black. And I think that they're smarter than to do something intentionally racist. I think they're smarter than that to you know, tell a story that actually brings some issues up and maybe talks about some things. But more importantly, again, they are lampooning Hollywood point blank. And I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to seeing the movie. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, I've just got one question for you, Doc. Where was the controversy on this when the Wayans brothers did White Chicks or White Girls? Or what? I don't know. I didn't see the controversy. I don't know. Just call me crazy. Call me crazy. I don't know. All right. Well, now that's going to take us in, of course, to a more serious forum. And this is kind of what you were leading up to, Doc. This is posted in the General Chit Chat forum. Question for white folks. And it's posted by Lord Infamous Even though Black History Month isn't until next year, I was wondering if y'all considered it as significant as us black folks do, or perhaps do y'all just consider it another day? If it is as significant, why do you think so? If it isn't, then again, why do you think so? IMO, Black History Month, shows America that the stereotypes are wrong. But this isn't about what I think. It's about what white people think. So, white people, get in here and answer.
And this is a, I think this is a great thread, and I think it, you know, it asks a serious question. I mean, February is obviously Black History Month, and it's a month where we celebrate, you know, all of the African American people in our society who have contributed and gone great lengths. In my opinion, I think that the month can even go further, and I think that it's truly a time to celebrate the black culture in America. But because, look, I mean, the black culture in America is responsible for so many amazing things in our culture, and not to celebrate those things and to encourage that type of exploration, both culturally, thematically, and to really talk about our society, I think is a real degradation. I mean, we celebrate white culture almost every day because this country was founded by white people. And, you know, I think you should have at least a month. And I'm sorry that, you know, obviously February is the shortest month out of the year. But I think we can even go to further lengths to really, you know, celebrate this culture and to celebrate what the black community has contributed to America, because it's a huge piece of the American pie. And I think to ignore it is a, you know, kind of a big deal.
Silver King writes in, I agree and disagree. I believe Black History Month is a stereotype in itself. Black people should not be separated from the country or society that they have contributed to. They should be remembered as individuals that have made their place in history along with all the members of the society or country they're a part of. If you differentiate black people from American people, white people, or any other kind of people, you're setting an arena-type atmosphere for close-minded fools. In other words, if you choose to be separated, then you will be. Or, if you're preaching the importance of color, then you have just fueled the fire. I don't have the answer to how we can truly achieve equality, but I'm pretty sure that Black History Month is not guiding us in the right direction. You wanted an honest white guy's opinion, so there you go, posted by Silver King.
I think that's a pretty interesting opinion. TK and Zero writes in and has a similar opinion. He says, I greatly dislike Black History Month. I think it's just part of the force feeding that is taking place, laying down the lines to keep us divided. We don't need a Black History Month any more than we need a White History Month. History should be taught in the context of history, not with racial overtones. That will only lead to further division. History shouldn't be taught by the color of one's skins. Inventions shouldn't be classified, by the color of one's skin. Each passing year, February becomes more and more saturated with black history, with all of the attention on the skin color. In my humble opinion, it also is demeaning to blacks, as the term black history is implying that they are apart from American history. And I do agree with that to a certain degree. However, you know, I feel like there does need to be, I think, some special attention paid, you know, to the culture, because I think there's still a lot of, you know, I live in New York and everything is incredibly culturally integrated, and you really cannot afford not to appreciate different culture and different ideas and different beliefs in this city. Otherwise, you're just going to get run over by them. I mean, if you can't kind of open yourself up to them, you will fall victim to them. But there are still a lot of parts of America that are not, you know, they're not accustomed to dealing with people different than them, whether it be culturally, whether it be looks, whether it be, you know, just how people wear their hair. People are not accustomed to dealing with other people. So it's important that at least on the surface level, there's some sort of exposure to that in a positive light. And hey, look, I mean, everything is about the way you market it. It's all about the way you sell it. So, you know, I think that, you know, it should always be a positive thing, and it should never be a this stands aside from the American culture, but look at what an amazing part of American culture that this has become.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are posting, though, because they see it more as an integration or a separation than bringing people together. For example, Given May writes, what if there was a white entertainment television instead of BET? What if there was White History Month? I mean, it's almost like, and I'm not saying that Black History Month is a bad thing. What I'm saying is there's a lot of people on the board that go, wait a minute, you're singling out a particular race. Now, they have made fantastic accomplishments to society. We also can't, and this is something that I've noticed on reading a lot of these threads, and there's several pages of these, so please reply to this. But if I'm wrong, you know, tell me, Doc, but I'm seeing a lot of things in here that says that kind of leads, I'm trying to put this in the right words, because, you know, there's a politically correct thing to say that, you know, well, all white people, you people are racist, or and there's no other, and that seems to be the problem. There seems to be a guilt among white people to want to make amends and try to make amends, and there seems to be some in the other black community that take advantage of that particular feeling. Not to say that, you know, that if I didn't own any slaves, my grandparents were immigrants to this country. I really don't like to look at the people and that I know and classify them in color. In other words, I don't say, well, he's my black friend, he's my Hispanic friend, he's my white friend. I don't like to do that. I mean, these people are my friends, but there seems to be a separation in our culture, and there seems to be this attitude that if you're white, you have to be racist, or you must be racist. I think that's totally bunk. I think that there's good people and there's bad people, and there's stereotypes and there's racists in every culture. For example, if you were going to, let's say, Africa. Let's say you went to Africa, and the whites, obviously a minority there, suffering major violence right now, and a lot of things going on in the South African area. It depends on what part of the country that you're in, and what part of the world that you're in, that you're going to face these stereotypes. So it may be a problem in this country. It's not as much a problem as it was early in our country's history, or even through the middle part of the last century. And I'm trying to express this the best way I can, but I think that too many people have the idea just because you're a certain color, you have to be a certain way, or I'm entitled to something because I am this color, instead of taking personal responsibility and saying, I'm a citizen, I'm a human being, I have rights. God created me with these inalienable rights. It's written into the Constitution. And if you try to deny me those rights, obviously we have a problem. But you're no better than I am, or you're no less than I am because of the color of your skin.
I agree 100%. You know, I guess my point is that, you know, it seems to me that after 200 years of you know, trying to live together and getting along with one another, you'd think we'd be a little farther than what we are now. And it astonishes me to this day to hear comments from people and to hear some of the outrageous nonsense out there. And I think it's, you know, I think there's certainly parties to blame on both sides. There are people who just inflame the situation on a regular basis, both whites, blacks, Hispanics, anyone you want to talk about, because there's so many differing points of view on this. And everybody, of course, thinks they're right. And everybody, of course, thinks that they have the solution, they have the answer. When, you know, when it breaks down to it, we all just need to learn to live together. And I know that's kind of a wishy-washy kind of, you know, outlook for things, but it's true. I mean, the more and more you experience people around you, and more you open yourself up to people around you, the more and more you'll see that we're all just kind of people floating around trying to do our own thing. And whether you agree with it or not is almost completely unimportant. What matters is that you just understand it, and you understand that it's all part of the world you live in. And that's my little, oh, can't we all just get along message for the day.
Yeah, it would be nice if we could, and it would be nice if we could all just kind of make that one step toward each other. I just want to kind of bring this up because I thought it was crazy, stupid, ridiculous. I guess it was on The View, and I actually didn't see the program. I had to go back and YouTube it. But Whoopi Goldberg was talking about the N-word, that it is perfectly appropriate for a black person to use the N-word in referring to someone in their culture. But if a white person does that, that makes it wrong. And someone addressed her and said, well, if it's wrong for this person to do it, wouldn't it be wrong throughout all the culture to say something like that? But there seems to be a wall there that's one way. That you can't, or I can, or I can't and you can, that wall needs to come down too. There needs to be a lot of walls taken down on both sides still in this country, and hopefully there will be. I mean, we're all brothers and sisters, and when times get tough, we're all we've got.
I don't believe you people.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?
Question. What does the NSA, CIA, OSI, MI6, U.S. Secret Service, NASA, the Pentagon, EPA, the U.S. House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate, FEMA, the U.S. Department of State, the United States Navy, the United States Marines, the U.S. Army, United States Air Force, the United Kingdom House of Lords and House of Commons, Buckingham Palace, Forbes Magazine, Time, The New York Post, The Wall Street Journal, CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, CNBC, to name just a small few, have in common. Answer? These plus thousands of others have registered members and constant visitors to all three sites on the Above Network LLC. AboveTopSecret.com, BelowTopSecret.com, and AbovePolitics.com. Get smart. Be part of the revolution that is being heard around the world.
And a big old welcome back to the BTS Big Show. I'm Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy. It's good to have you with us on show number 23.
Hey, 23. I don't know about you, Spencer, but Mr. X kind of sounds like a Texan. I don't know why.
Yeah, it sounds like he might be from Dallas, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. You can throw on all the voice manipulation in the world, and still that Texas accent just kind of seems to pour through, doesn't it?
Oh, you know how us Texans are with our secret societies and stuff and White House stuff. Oh, yeah, it's kind of weird.
It might very well be a conspiracy theory. In fact, the last thing you just said, Spencer, I think if we taped it and played it backwards, there might be some sort of secret or hidden message in there, huh?
I'm sure there would be something in there that would be construed as vulgar and obscene. Yes.
You can count on that. And that brings us into our first topic back from the break here. And this is in the music forum on BTS.com. And it's called Songs with Backward Messages. And there are dozens of these. And people always find these very interesting. You know, you used to be able to put your old 45s on the record player and, you know, throw them in reverse. And you'd get these weird secret messages. And this comes out from the Truth Seeker. And it says, if you know any songs with backwards messages, post them here. Here's one. I'll put the video and the messages and the time they are said below it. This is from Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up. You know, never gonna give you up.
Never gonna let you down. Yeah, you know, I kind of looked like Rick Astley when I was younger. And then I dipped my face in acid and I feel better now.
Good.
Evidently, at certain times, you're going to hear Foolish Nazi. Yes, Irishmen are looking for fun with me. Which I think,
you know, I hear that comment all the time on the street, which is very bizarre. So
you are a sexy beast. Also, that's enough. And then, well, I'm molesting oxen now. Ooh, yeah.
my favorite pastime, actually.
Some other
molesting
ones.
Molesting oxen.
You have a lot of oxen in New York, do you?
Dozens of them, and they're all incredibly scantily dressed. It's kind of, I'm going to stop there. I'll just stop right there.
There you go. Bottle of soap. Yeah, that's in there. Easy now. Please don't eat my snot. Don't eat my snot. Oh, that's gross. Smile that's with me now and put your hands on her. Those all backward masked into Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up. And we had some other posters put some stuff up. The Truth Seeker posted Queens, another one Bites the Dust, and says throughout the song you can hear, it's fun to smoke marijuana.
Marijuana.
Yeah, we can't say that on the show. We're not endorsing that.
Yeah, I can't say I used it, but we can certainly say that, Queen said it in their song.
And
that's
they probably used it. It's okay.
Yeah, probably. Dirty hippies. And of course, Eminem, My Name Is. Apparently, there's some from Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven.
The weird thing about Eminem's is I Am Slim Shady. And when you play it backwards, actually, when you play the video, he goes, it's Eminem, or I'm Eminem, or something like that. And it's pretty clear. It's kind of weird.
Well, you know, and you got to wonder, I mean, especially with the Rick Astley song in the very beginning. You know, there's a lot of messages in there, and I've yet to really listen carefully and go through it and figure them all out to see how valid they all are, how clear they all are. But in a song like that, you almost have to wonder if there is some intention behind that, or if, you know, a person, I don't know, can a person be so musically gifted that when they sing their song and you play it backwards, these messages pop out? That's a question to ponder. Because, I mean, could you imagine the technical know-how that would be required to, A, sit down, write a song, figure out how it's going to sound backwards, then set it to music, set it to a rhythm, and then produce it? I just can't even imagine what would have to go into that. I mean, we should have these people working at NASA, not, you know, producing songs.
Yeah. Well, actually, it wouldn't be that tough if you think about it. You just think about what you want to put in the song, you say it, and then you play it backwards, and you go, okay, what does that sound like? When I say, the garden grows green with herbs, you know, and when I play it backwards, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
in other words, you start with the end product and then you work around it. Probably why some of these lyrics are so screwed up in the first place.
Yeah, your garden growing green with herbs. Yeah, you've been hanging out with Queen, haven't you?
I have, yeah. And by the way, if you play that backwards, I have no idea what it means. Oh, by the way, though, this is kind of interesting, Doc. There's people who actually do this for a living, or maybe in their spare time, but they take political speeches and they run them backwards and they say doublespeak. This is what they're calling it, doublespeak. Then when you play them backwards, you actually hear the full intent, the correct intent. Even if they're lying, you hear what their intent is in the message. For an example, there were no weapons of mass destruction. That would be telling the truth. There are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And then you play it backwards and it says, we're going to invade them for no reason. I mean, there's actually people that record that stuff and play it back, and you can hear little snippets of weird messages. Now, I think you have to be eating a lot of shrooms to do this for a living, but you can kind of see where this is going.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess for those sitting out there, you know, taking acid and then listening to political speeches and listening to them backwards, you can find all sorts of magical things in there. You could probably unlock the secrets of the universe.
Well, I think anyone that would actually listen to a Rick Astley song backwards in the first place, probably doing some pretty heavy stuff. So let's go ahead and jump off the drug abuse forum and go right into general chit-chat. Name that kitty. And I love this. It's posted by Access Denied. We have a new member of our family, 7 weeks old, little boy who needs a name. We have some real pet lovers. We are some real pet lovers. Let me try this again, because that sounded like really weird. We have some real pet lovers here, so I thought perhaps you could give me a hand and posted some cute pictures of the kitten. The second one's my favorite.
Yeah. This I got to tell you, I'm not a huge cat fan. I'm more of a dog guy, but man, this cat is real damn cute. I mean, real cute. He's got like these sharp little baby blue eyes, and he's gray, and he's got these little ears and little whiskers that pop out. Oh, just want to squeeze him. Yeah, I do. And it's amazing how these little creatures can just melt your heart. But this comes in from Access Denied, and she needs help naming her new family member. So some people have written in, and Jedi Miller, of course, is the first to chime in on this one. He says, you know, congrats. Why don't you call him Jedi Kitty? And coming from Jedi Miller, that's quite a creative response.
And, yes. Yeah, as long as the kitty goes Sith in the cat box, we'll be okay.
Yes. Yeah. HSir 2112, which is Rush, ironically, backwards, as we were just talking about, you know, song lyrics that can be read backwards. He says, oh, AD is so cute, and I love the smoky colored fur. There go Smokey, being that you are fire. Enjoy the little guy. And Smokey's always a kind of a cute name for a little kitty. Oh, you're a little Smokey. He's getting into the drapes again. Oh, that's so cute.
Now, Asala thought that Sooty, Shadow, or Jet would look pretty cool, too. Actually, you want to know the truth? I think this cat looks like trouble.
Yeah, he's going to grow up. It might be like a baby cougar or something. Might, you know, grow up and really start tearing stuff out, go loose on the neighborhood, maybe pick off some of the kids in the neighborhood or something. That could be crazy.
Go for the ankles, kitty cat. And if you have some ideas of what you would like to name Access Denied's kitty, hey, post it in the general chit-chat forum. Name that kitty.
And I got a question for you, Spencer. Sex. Okay. How important is it to you?
Well, it's pretty important. I would say definitely in a marriage relationship, it's pretty important.
Well, Lethal wants to know, sex, how important is it? And, of course, this is in our relationships forum here on Below Top Secret. And Lethal writes in, sex, the most natural of things on this earth. But as humans grow farther away from our roots of animalistic tendencies and urges, how important is it to you? Does it only influence earlier prospering relationships, or does it encompass long-term ones as well? Is it a need or a pleasure? Is it a vital part of a healthy relationship, or simply a means to gain pleasure? I want to know about what you think about sex, and if mental arousal, simply the fact of connecting with someone, etc., or physical pleasure is key to your need as a human being and your relationships. Studies usually show that men feel sex is as important a part of a relationship. Then again, studies also show that men think about sex every 7 seconds, which is false, of course. Yeah, sure. And what male and females think about sex? And that's a really good question, because it's obviously, I mean, everybody on the planet does it, except for a few, you know, minor exceptions to that rule. And even then, you kind of have to.
Minor being the key word there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then nothing's really stopping them these days. Mopus Vindictus wrote, I was married for 10 years. After that ordeal, I don't think about sex more than every 7 days. That's pretty good. But actually goes, you know, I'm laughing, but seriously, there are better things in life. If you've ever heard of the olfactory fatigue, the same sort of thing happens with sex, I would say, from personal experience. Your best bet off not oversexing yourself. Well, that's, you know, everything in moderation.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting. I mean, there are some cultures where, you know, you're not allowed to have any sort of sexual relations with your wife any more than a week at a time. And the thought behind that is that as you wait that entire week, your mental lust builds up, and it keeps your sex life healthier over the long term. And if you think about it, it kind of makes sense. I mean, you know, if you can spend a whole week, you know, kind of fawning and pawing and waiting, you know, for the magical evening, you know, then it could be glorious. I mean, unless the sex is lousy to begin with, and then, you know, it's like, what are you waiting for? You know, you really have.
Honey, can we put this off for another month? We're okay. You know, actually, there was a church pastor who encouraged his entire married congregation, the people in the congregation who were married, to have sex every night for a month. And when you connect with your loved one, that person, that partner that you're with, and you connect with them on not only a physical level, but an intimacy level that's unsurpassed, and a spiritual level even, that does, I don't want to get metaphysical here, but there's an exchange of energy. There's an exchange of oneness and getting back on the same level with that person. Unless you've had an argument, which angry sex is great for making up with that, but it's such a part of the marriage relationship. It's such a natural part. And I think a lot of times society has taken that wonderful thing and cheapened it and made it something that it was never meant to be. It was meant to be something a lot more special than it is these days.
Well, I mean, if you look at the history of sex, I mean, throughout the centuries, I'm talking, you know, a couple thousands of years, there have been some societies that have been very open with sex and talk about it on a regular basis. You see it in their art, you see it in their culture, you see it everywhere. And then there are other societies, and as not liberal, I don't want to use the term liberal because I feel like that's not an apt description. But if you look at some societies who talk about it freely, they seem to have fewer problems with it. You know, I mean, you look at America, and for all of the things that America has explored and for how open America generally seems to be, you know, sex is still very, very taboo. And if you look at the history of it, it wasn't until the Victorian era where people were like, oh, you know, sex is wrong, sex is bad, and we need to repress all of these things. And if you look at, you know, statistics down the board throughout history, the more you repress sex, the more problems you begin to run into with it. There was a time in Roman history where sex was incredibly repressed. As a result of that, you know, you look at the history of some of these emperors, I mean, they're bringing horses into the bedroom. They're bringing barnyard animals in. There was, who was the famous Queen of England that died because she had a horse strapped above her bed to, you know, fulfill certain requirements sexually, apparently.
Well, I didn't read that in any history book. You're going to have to fill me in on that after the show.
Yeah, they won't tell you about this in any history class, I'll tell you what. But she actually had a horse strapped above her bed. The straps broke. The horse fell and crushed her. And yet in our society, in American society, sex is still very, very taboo. No one really likes to talk about it. And, you know, you look at the recent, you know, movement, which is, you know, the movement of abstinence and no sex is good sex. And, you know, you don't want to deal with it. Well, all of a sudden you start to see STDs are on the rise. You start to see that teenage mm-hmm. pregnancies are on the rise, because you put anything into a taboo status in a society, and of course it's going to be more sought after. You know, it's going to arouse more curiosity, and it's going to draw more attention to it, when as opposed to saying, look, this is a natural thing, and talking about the responsibility that sex carries along with it. I think that's the important thing. It's understanding, A, you know, like you were talking about, Spencer, with the extraordinary physical connection that two people experience. You know, it's a mental thing, it's a spiritual thing, it's a physical thing. But also on the other end, the responsibility of you have chosen a partner to share, I think, one of your most magnificent gifts with. I mean, obviously the scientific definition of sex is to produce offspring. I mean, that's the scientific version of it. But you take it, you know, just within that realm, you're sharing your greatest gift ever given to anybody. I mean, to recreate, to produce life. Then there's the spiritual side of it, where you're sharing that connection. You know, I'm choosing you and you are choosing me, and we are sharing a lovely moment here. And I think if we discuss the responsibility, look, if you do this, there's a good chance that you're going to bring another life into this world that you must therefore be responsible for. I think if we emphasize that more heavily and talked about that cultural element of our worlds, because you're 15, you're 16, you're not thinking about it. All of a sudden, boom, you have a kid, and it can, you know, obviously totally upheave your life. You know, and then on the other end, you know, you've got older people who are still so sexually repressed. Maybe they had a really bad experience as a child. There's nothing in society to really, I mean, yeah, there's little groups you can go to, and there's people you can talk to, but it's still, you still feel like a victim, and you're still repressed to a certain degree, not to be able to talk about certain things with society, because you'll feel like you'll be outcast, or you'll be made fun of, or you'll be looked down upon. And there's that fear there. So I think if we just kind of unlock all that fear and really start talking about it and understand it for what it is, you know, I think you'd see a lot of these problems start to dissipate as people take more responsibility, and more, even more so, have a greater sense of education. Sex education isn't just about, you know, this part goes into that part and this happens and these certain biological functions happen. It also has to be a cultural education. It has to be a ethical education about these are the consequences or the benefits or you know, any variety of things for having a sexual relationship with someone.
But we've too often taken that position of, well, if you're having sex, it's bad. Or you're afraid your kids are going to do what you did, and you're not honest with them. Instead, you know, my daughter, and I got to be totally honest, so this is going to, like, probably freak people out, and I'm really, that's okay. Daughter asked me a very personal question. Dad, did you ever do this? And I'm not going to go too personal. I'm just going to say there's something in my past where I experimented with some things. Marijuana. Okay, I'll get to you. She asked, Dad, did you ever smoke dope? And I said, honey, I did in high school, and I did a few times, you know, later in life, but I never liked it because I got, you know, it freaked me out and I got paranoid and I didn't like it. It just wasn't for me. And I did it for the wrong reasons. And I said, but that doesn't, you know, I do believe that people who have medical problems that can't get any relief any other way should have the choice and the ability to get that if it's going to relieve their suffering. I said, beyond that, though, no, I don't think you should do it. But I mean, I said, I can't be with you 24 hours a day. I'm going to tell you that it's probably not what you need, but I'm not going to lie to you and tell you, oh, honey, I'm the paragon of virtue. I have never done that in my, and of course, kids know exactly when you're lying. And then they're going, oh, why is Dad not telling me that he did this? And then there's this curiosity. Well, I'm going to try it on my own. Instead of being honest and saying, yeah, I had unprotected sex or whatever. You know, if your kids ask you that, I mean, you should probably start the conversation. If you're worried about your kids, they're going to do the same things you did. So you better go ahead and talk to them like you were never talked to, and kind of lay it on the line and be totally honest. I mean, I think kids appreciate that. And there's going to be people who go, well, I'm just going to experiment anyway. But still, I mean, be open and honest. If you're a parent, talk to your kids. Don't lie to them. They know when you're lying, and you're not a very good liar, just like you can tell when they're lying. and open up and share.
And Spencer, it's exactly that kind of conversation you had that's a good thing. It's a good positive thing because, A, it does two things. It shares an experience with you of what you learned from it, what you took away from it, and why or why not you should maybe do something. And I think at the end, in the end, I think people need to, try things for themselves or at least, learn from their own experience, whether they see a friend doing it, they don't like what's going on, or whether, whatever your experience is, I think people need to ultimately learn from themselves. But if you have those stories and those lessons to help guide your thoughts and help you really critically think about something before you leap into something or before you do something, I think that's so incredibly positive, and it's just laying everything out on the table. Number two, it opens up the door for more conversations, and so your daughter's not going to be, fearful or resentful of coming and talking to you about these things, because you want, as difficult as some of those conversations are, it's a heck of a lot easier to have those conversations, than to deal with a rehab problem later on, or to deal with a substance abuse problem later on, or to deal with a teen pregnancy, or to deal with, any multitude of things that can come out just simply because you didn't talk about things and that channel of communication wasn't open. So, Spencer, I applaud you, sir, and that's a great thing, and I encourage other parents to, really open up the dialogue, because I think it can be so beneficial and so positive for everybody involved.
Yeah, I can. And like I said, you need to talk about the negative things. This is where I was mentally when I did this or when I made this decision. And tell them, get right into, just pulling out the junk and saying, okay, I made a bad decision here. This is why I did it. I was around the wrong type of people. I wanted to experiment because, somebody told me about it. So I guess what I'm saying here is just be as honest as you can with your kids. Be real with them. And they're going to appreciate that. They're going to know that it's really coming from your heart, and be honest. All right, time to jump over to dog meat taken off the menu in China for the Olympics. Doc, what do you think about that?
Oh, geez, thanks, China. Thanks for taking dog meat off the menu. We all really appreciate that. Jeez Louise. I mean, first of all, I'm sorry. You shouldn't have dog meat on the menu to begin with. I know they're animals, and I know we eat a whole bunch of other animals, and what distinguishes a dog from everything else. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Dogs are awesome. Dogs are smart. Dogs are people's best friends, and people should not be eating them, period. And that's all I really have to say about that.
Well, really? I mean, you never had anything weird to eat before?
But plenty of weird stuff. I've eaten various hearts of things. I've eaten, I've had kangaroo. I've had alligator.
Wait. You've had kangaroo. Okay, tell me about kangaroo. I mean, were you in Aussie land when you had a kangaroo?
I one of my first jobs, I worked at a country club, and I started off as a dishwasher and then moved into the kitchen as kind of like a prep cook. And the chef was using all sorts of different stuff, and he was always trying new stuff. And he brought in some fresh kangaroo. And I got to tell you, it was awesome. I mean, this guy was a great chef. I mean, he was like the head chef at a country club. But it was really, really good. I felt bad that I was eating kangaroo, but it was just kind of there. So I thought, well, you only live once. So I tried it. I wouldn't order kangaroo again because I think they're cute, and I think they're neat little animals. So, I have, I guess, ethical issues with it, but I didn't at the time when I was scarfing it down, and boy, was it delicious.
Yeah, I got over it after I went, that was good. Yeah. I'm a hunter, Doc, and I've as I've gotten older, I've had more respect for life, so I don't kill anything I'm not going to eat, unless, of course, it's a predator and it's a problem, causing a problem on the ranch or anything like that. But I think the weirdest thing I probably had was, I had several weird things. I thought alligator was probably some of the most exotic things. Rattlesnake was a little exotic. Frog legs, when you shoot them yourself, that's kind of cool. Crickets, fried crickets, that's their little legs get caught in your teeth right there. But other than that, they're kind of crunchy. They're good for you. So
yeah, but you know what? That kind of proves my theory. You can fry anything and it will taste good. You can put anything in the deep fat fryer, it'll taste good. Period. I don't care what it is. It could be boot leather. You put that in there. Crunchy. Tastes like pork rinds. Good.
It's yummy. I like it. All right. So if you have any opinion on this, please post it in the General Chit Chat Forum. China takes dog meat off the menus for the Olympics.
Shih Tzu steaks.
Tastes like Shih Tzu to me.
And moving right along on our Olympics theme, T-Kane Zero, and T-Kane's getting a lot of attention here today on the BTS Mix Show. He's been pretty active on BTS. This is in the World Sports Forum, and this is obviously about the Olympic Games in Beijing right now. And he started a medal tracker, and it is exactly what you think it is. It's able to track all the different countries and how many medals they've gotten and what medals and what and all that good stuff. And as it's last posted on the 12th of August, the current standings are the USA has 21, China's got 18, and South Korea has 10. Those are the top three medal winners. And a lot of those obviously have come from Michael Phelps with swimming. And, man, to watch him, he's like a damn dolphin. That guy can just move. Well, and I heard today that he consumes 12,000 calories a day, and it consists of mostly pizza and pasta. So I've done a little reworking in my life, and I've decided that I want to become an Olympic swimmer so I can just eat pizza and pasta all day and not even worry about it and look like Michael Phelps. That'd be great.
You have to swim first.
Oh, right. You mean I actually have to swim, too? Dang.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, can't just sit in the pool.
Well,
yeah. That would be cool, though. That would be nice. You know, did you hear about, you know, Georgia and Russia having this big hoo-ha? Of course, they faced off in the Olympics on the women's volleyball court. Bit of a rivalry there. And Georgia actually took the game. But then a fight broke out in the crowd between the Russians and the Georgians.
Yeah. And for those of you who may or may not know, Georgia is not a state in the United States. It is actually a country in the greater Asia region. So just a reminder on that one as well. Yeah, I would say this is definitely a little hoo-ha for sure.
There are a lot of hurt feelings over this. A lot of dead people, a lot of hurt feelings. So hopefully they'll get that resolved. We'll leave the ATS and the political guys to talk this one out. So we'll continue on from there. All right. And you had one more that you found, something about an idiot posting on the internet.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm a big fan of The Onion, and it's a publication, obviously, and it's also online, and it's theonion.com. And they posted an article that I thought, and apparently so did Schrodinger's dog, thought that this was a kind of a shout-out to the ATS, BTS, PTS community. And this comes from The Onion, and the article reads, Milanek said, although I do not yet know exactly what my... let me start that again. Milanek said, although I do not yet know exactly what my comment will entail, I can say with a great degree of certainty that it will be incredibly stupid. The result will be an astonishing combination of ignorance, offensiveness, and sheer idiocy. And, of course, this is referring to some people that post on the internet. But, of course, at the ATS, BTS, PTS community, we have none of that. It's all pure intelligence and amazing thought that goes into everything that's posted.
Oh, if that were only true.
Well, Cracker's quick to write in, and he says, you do know that The Onion is satirical news, right? And, you know, I think he may have gotten a little defensive about that, and rightly so, very rightly so. But a little shout out to The Onion there, and I think they've got some good stuff. So I thought that was pretty funny.
It is time for the BTS Mix Screen Test, your chance to win all kinds of points just by guessing our trivia question this week. And Luke did a great job with this week's BTS Screen Test question, and here it goes. So about 6,000 BTS points, Doc?
That sounds about right.
He is the bad guy in a new movie, but this guy has been everywhere. You certainly talked about him around the office, and his portrayal of a certain architect is legendary. But don't let him tape a bag of cereal to your car. Who is this person? And if you answer correctly, you'll get 6,000 BTS points on the BTS Mix Screen Test. And that just about does it for this week's show. Have a great week, everyone. For the BTS Mix, I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. Take care of yourselves.
You've been listening to the BTS Mix. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of BTS Mix, please visit the website belowtopsecret.com. The views expressed on BTS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the above network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and continue to deny boredom by logging on to belowtopsecret.com.